But I want to talk to you a little bit about something, because we're going to read Luke 2, so you can turn there if you want to. I just think it's important, but I just want to express to you that it's crazy to read that story over and over and over again. And this year, God spoke to me differently than he has in other ways about the same passage. Luke has basically the only rundown of this whole scenario. And but just off the top, I just wondered, this is not a prize question. This is just a question that you can answer. What is probably the most known Christmas Christian song now that's played more than any other song on the radio? It's a modern song. Who said it? Mary, Did You Know? See, it's wild to me. Obviously, Mary didn't know. But there's a whole another section of things that Mary didn't know that I want us to look at today. And so when we're thinking about the Christmas story, I want to bring a couple things just to our attention. And then I think we're going to sing just an update for Mina, in case she can hear me. We're going to do two songs at the end. I want to do that hallelujah song again and then the song that we planned on. But I love how we can look at a passage and keep looking at a passage. And it grows on us. And so today I want to, in light of Mary, Did You Know, I want to read chapter 2, starting in verse 1, and we'll read 20 verses. And we'll probably just kind of peruse through them some, okay? It says this, and whichever version you have, it should be something close to this. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Evidently, that was important. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, very afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from then into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known all abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now there's a whole bunch of things in here that I could pay attention to. I mean, I think sometimes it's so easy to almost think in our minds of what it would look like from where we live today. You know, just like swaddling clothes. It's really most likely what is spoken. And if you study these things, I love to go almost to every word and just pop on and see what it says. And what it would probably be is strips of cloth that they just wrap tightly around a newborn baby and just put a strip over another strip over another strip until it's completely covered and kept in that tight wound thing, because it's actually cloths. And so it's not, you know, she didn't get them at the mall. She didn't get them on Amazon. I don't know what they prepared for. As often happens, I was in bed thinking about this in the early morning. And here's what I felt like God had really spoken to me. It says, and it came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, all the world at that time meant the Roman world. The Romans were in charge. And so everybody that was in the Roman jurisdiction, and it doesn't mean that they got tax forms in the mail from, you know, the Roman postal service. Actually, what it seems to imply is that every person had to return back to their home city, which they came from, to register and to declare their earnings. And the tax was going to be on that. And so they had to go back to the city of origin so that, because the Romans were probably a little bit like Homeland Security. Okay? I don't know if you know this or not, but when a couple gets married nowadays, you go to the county clerk's office and you get a marriage license, and you have to show your real ID in order to get a marriage license, or you can't get one. And then you get married and somebody sends that license back in signed that says these officially got married. And if there's going to be a name change, that bride has 30 days to go to Social Security and file for a name change and then go to the BMV and change it on her license. Because if you don't do those things and your marriage license is registered, your driver's license will be suspended. Because Homeland Security wants to know name changes, address changes, and all of these things. So this is not just brand new for us. The Romans were doing it back when Jesus was born. And so they, under Homeland Security, wanted everybody, especially these migrant Jews, to come back and say, where'd you come from and who's your parents and what city, and you got to go back there and you got to register, and if you don't, you're going to be in big trouble. So that's what it was. And I apply that a little bit to our day, because I believe that sometimes it can feel like our world is just being turned upside down. We've got a lot of crazy things going on today, don't you think? And before any of you get worried, I should probably tie my shoe, because some of you are probably already worried that my shoe's untied. And, you know, that's all you can see, and you wouldn't hear anything about Jesus. You're just waiting for me to fall off the stage because my shoe is untied. So I'll do that. And then my wife, I could tell, was greatly distraught, as if she was great with child or something. And I didn't want that to happen. Now we all feel better. All the world should be taxed. And I look at this, that passage, and I'm going, do you think there was anybody in that scenario that said, you know what, this is just dumb, and it's not fair? And why do we have to do that? I live way down here now. I've been in Nazareth now for a while. Why do I have to go all the way back to Bethlehem just so I can prove to them that that's where I came from? And I don't know what they had, you know. Surely didn't have computers. Couldn't send emails. Couldn't pay, you know, over the computer in any fashion. And so they had to go. And I just want us to understand a little bit more of the concept of what was going on here, because I don't think it was convenient for anybody. Plus, they were living under Roman rule, and it probably felt just like another thing that they're trying to do to us. They just want us to know who's in charge, and they want us to know that we're not Romans. And so therefore, anything they can do to make our life miserable, that seems to be what they're doing. And I know that that's sometimes what it feels like today. Anybody gets, you know, kind of sick of how much you have to pay in taxes? Anybody dread when property taxes come to their house? And you're going, I bought the house. What are you taxing me for? And yet each year or every couple years, here is a reevaluation of your home. And for some reason, while you thought the rest of the world was going by, your home went up by $28,000 and your taxes went up by $500. And you're going, sell. That ain't the way it works. And if you're going to appeal that, you have so many days, and it's in the fine print. You're not going to find it in bold letters. And then after you've paid all those taxes, then every time you go to the store, you got to pay more taxes. Sales tax. Sales tax. Sales tax. Sales tax. Money I earned to buy something I want, and I have to give somebody money so that I can get what I want from my money. Yeah, that makes sense. We love it. I just love to give 6%, 7% of my money just to nobody in particular. Just because I want to buy something. Feels like Rome. Are you depressed yet? Some of you don't know this. Years and years ago, before I pastored, we put on a play here at this church I attended here. And we put on, it was almost 2 hours long, A Christmas Carol. Anybody remember that? I was Scrooge. It was quite an undertaking. And so, humbug. It's one of my favorites, but it's not my favorite Christmas movie. Here's the other part. Mary was great with child. You're going, okay, now, first of all, how about a plan? You know what I mean? Or did this edict come out suddenly, and they had to make a trip, and she was already pregnant. And so now they've got a plan. We don't know. We don't know when this decree came out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and yet every person had to return to their own place. And here, you know, Mary didn't have anything going on already, right? Angel visitation, visit to Aunt Elizabeth, trying to figure out what in the world she's going to do, worried about Joseph. Then Joseph gets an angel. Now that's at least taken care of. But now, you kidding me right now? We got to go where? You know, this is all your fault. After all, if this is God's son, couldn't you make it so that we could pay our taxes here? It is just absolutely baffling to me how many of these things make sense. Because here we are, living in a world that is quite chaotic at this time. And which of us don't have personal circumstances that just kind of seem unsettling at times? Wonder how it's going to be. Wonder what we're going to do. Wonder how this is going to work. Wonder when that's going to happen. Some of you are off work for 3 weeks. Trusting that everything's going to come back to normal. What's normal? 56 degrees on Christmas? Hardly. See? It's real. Climate change is here. By the way, you saw all these lights up here? You know where them are from? Not a country. They're from last year. Do you know why they're from last year? Because we couldn't have church last year. Because we have a travel advisory because it was 20 below zero, snowing, and great winds. And we couldn't have church. How many remember that, though? And see, that's why very few of us. I didn't know that. And my wife looked it up and goes, what? And I'm going, see, last year we had had different circumstances and different things. You're going, no, we have to have church. This is Christmas, you know, the Christmas Sunday church. And we get interrupted. And so we got the lights out of the packages today. And we used them today, a year later. Batteries still work. Imagine that. See, there's always things that are going to go on. And all of us here, some of us are on that kind of smooth road right now, and it feels pretty good. And there's other people who are on a really, really bumpy road. And personal circumstances can really pop you every once in a while. I didn't expect a call last Sunday morning, a text, a little bit before 9 o'clock to say, George is in the hospital. It's not looking good. He's my oldest brother. His wife passed in 2011. He had two daughters and precious nieces of mine. Grandkids from both of them. But I felt, for their sake, I'm going to hurry over there, so dismissed myself from here. Got over there about a little after 9:30. And by 10:30 he was gone. I didn't get up for that. Didn't wake up with that thought that morning. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I had been sick all last weekend. And I had what many of you have experienced through the week. A much more deep voice, if there was a voice. And maybe some private exhales that were meant to bring up things from the regions below and then possibly expel them in some fashion. Not like Dean, though. Not upchucking, just coughing. We all have our way. Dean and Rebecca had a special way this week. And they're glad to be far from it. But I look at this and I'm going, do we appreciate how crazy this is? That they had to suddenly go do something that they had no desire to do. And it wasn't like they were the only ones. The world had gone crazy and they have to do this. And it's at the most inopportune time, because here she is. And it says she was great with child, which means she was very pregnant. And do you know how far it is from Nazareth to Bethlehem? 90 miles. So let's just take the pregnant woman, you know, on the train. Take about 15 minutes. She can lay in the passenger seat until we get there. It might jostle a little bit, but I think she's going to be... No, you know good and well that's not the way it was. This is a walking trip and possibly a donkey trip, although doesn't say. We just know she was great with child. She has a promise. She knows why she's pregnant. Joseph does too. But do you think it ever entered her mind? Speaking of Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that you're going to walk 90 miles being great with child? Mary, did you know? Somebody didn't plan this very well. It's a plan. And then I see this thing, and you get there and you're going, what do you mean no room in the inn? Hello. No room in the inn. Are you kidding me right now? 90 miles, I walk and ride, and I get here days later. No room in the inn. What was his name again? And these are the things I've just been stirring in me, because all of us, every one of us, could live in a certain amount of chaos in this world, and just all the, you know how politics and news is right in front of us all the time, and we can be filled up with it if we want to be, taxing all of us. And then our personal circumstances that we're going, God, that this doesn't seem right. This is not the time. This can't be the right time for this to happen in my life. And yet, it says, and it came to pass in the time that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn child and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. You want to talk about Mary, did you know? Does it not seem crazy to you that while they are in this stable, whatever it is, out yonder, shepherds just doing their thing at night? I want you to think about this. What do you think you'd be doing if you was a shepherd watching the sheep by night? Hey, did you see who's... Stupid. Hey, basketball's on. You don't think they were doing that? Oh, okay, I just thought maybe I'd ask. I didn't know how 21st century we thought it was back then. No, if I'm watching the sheep, I'm probably, this isn't my first night. And that's what you're waiting for. Wait, something around? Oh, just dumb sheep. Go back to sleep. I mean, how do we think of that? Could you have a more monotonous job in your life? With all my sheep experience that I can't imagine. By the way, if you ever have raised sheep or been close to sheep, I was a butcher when I came out of high school, and we butchered sheep every year because there was a lamb show, and then there was a 4-H fair, and so we had to get everything ready. And if you ever want to see something peculiar, just look at a live sheep and see how little room there is between the eyes and the top of the head. And you'll know everything you need to know about sheep. It's true. It is absolutely true. There can't be more than a thimble full of brain in there. Them eyes are right up there and the top of the head is right there. And you're just going, sheep, huh? You'll laugh till you see one. And then you won't laugh anymore. And you're going, he called us sheep. But when you see this and you think about those shepherds and you're just going, why them? Because they never get in on the events. Their world doesn't change that much. They're not doing a whole lot of anything. They're just watching sheep third shift. Some of you might be familiar third shift. Depending on what your job is, good luck to you. Hard to get used to third shift. But suddenly there was an angel. And how afraid were they? Sore afraid. Very afraid. Would you? If you were out in the middle of a field and an angel came right there and you know, I mean, wouldn't you be... Town is over there. Why in the world would you come out in the field and tell me that there's something happening today? Me and my sheep all know now. And that's all. A couple other guys with me. I'm glad they're here because now we're witnesses. But man, weird. What's the angel say? Oh, fear not. For behold, I bring you great tidings, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you shall find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. Great. I have a feeling the sheep are running by now. You didn't think about that, did you? Did the sheep not see the angel? Or do they no longer have a flock? Fences down, gone. We may as well go see with haste because there's nothing here anymore. And suddenly there was with the angel a heavenly host singing and praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill to men. We could make a lot of jokes about some things like, man, I just hope there's a porta potty on the way to the inn. Scared me that bad. I've got to get there. But let's go with haste and find and see this thing. Who knows nothing about that? Mary. Mary doesn't know. No, all she knows is that suddenly a few guys walk in to this place where they've just given birth. And they're going, There's the baby. There's the baby. I mean, how peculiar do you have to be? It's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. How many can there be? I don't know how many inns there are, but probably not like today. Maybe several, but maybe not. Maybe only a couple. I don't know. And yet they found that baby and they come in and worshiped them and told Mary and Joseph everything that the angel had said. And Mary's going, really? Really? Says she pondered this in her heart. Oh, you'd have to. Because what you're looking at is, okay, God, so you told me that I was going to become with child, and then you made that happen, and then things are going along, and I went to Aunt Elizabeth for 3 months, and then I come back. Good with Joseph, finally. Starting to show. Get a decree. Are you kidding me? Joseph, how are we going to get there? All that. Come on. I don't want a polished Christmas story. I want, how did this happen? Because it's important for us to know something. And then later on, we don't know when. Could have been a year later that these people, wise men from the east, come and inquire at Herod and say, hey, can you tell us where this king was born? I don't know anything about a king. Well, we followed the star. Star, huh? Yeah, and it told us a king is born in this area. And we just wondered if you could tell us where the king is. You're talking to the king. I don't know what you're thinking. No. There is a king born, though. So he'll probably come after you. You know what happened before that? On the eighth day in the temple, Mary and Joseph come to present Jesus. And all of a sudden comes out this old man named Simeon. Old man walks up and says, excuse me, can I hold your baby? My name's Simeon. I live here. Can I hold your baby? Yeah, I guess so. He lifts up his eyes and says, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. For I have seen the Lord's salvation. He's a light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel. Thank you so much. I was told this would happen. All of a sudden, boom, here comes an old woman who's been a widow for over 70 years, coming in with a bustle and going, hey, I heard he's here. I heard he's here. Anna the prophetess comes in and praises and glorifies God for the thing that she knows is happening in that temple that day. And see, Mary, did you know? No, but see, God wanted to prove himself over and over and over again so that they would have the stamina, the perseverance, the courage to face the days ahead. Because when you can't see anything happening, you have to trust him that there's a plan that is in place. Mary didn't know any of those things would happen, but God wanted so to minister. I know you've done your part, Mary. I didn't just want to walk you out there, but did you remember that actually it was prophesied by Isaiah that it would be in Bethlehem, Ephratah, that the Messiah would come? So I got you there, didn't I? And you'll realize it later, but now for generations to come, they'll realize that when I speak a prophecy, I can move people even to make my prophecy come to pass. And I know it was inconvenient for you to go on that long of a journey, but the truth is I sustained you every day while you went. And it wasn't until the day you needed to be delivered that that was the place that I had for you, because I wanted to show some shepherds what a place looks like. They're used to a stable. They're used to a manger, but they're never used to seeing an angel, and they would never put this thing together in a place that they would be familiar with. Later on, those wise men come and offer gold and frankincense and myrrh. And you're just going, God, how in the world could you ever make this so that people from 1,000 miles away would come and make a journey? Because they knew that there was something that would make everything change. See, so now this is what I got out this year from this story. We do have a toxic culture right now. It's one of the most hostile against Christians and Jews that we've seen in generations. And I think it's going to get worse. And I'm not a pessimist. I just read it. And we're also going to have major personal struggles at times. And things are not going to be convenient. And we may have to do things that we don't like. We may have to walk through roads that we didn't ask for. We may have pain and sorrow in our life. And yet, does God have a plan? And did He promise to bring us through? You see, when I look at this story, who can't relate to Mary? Just because we don't have to travel 90 miles by foot and just because we're not great with child doesn't mean that there's not hardship, inconvenience, and chaos around our lives. That can be very much what we feel. But what we have to look back and say, but God, are you working behind the scenes? Because I want you to know that there's a passage that I want to read to you. Found in Hebrews chapter 1. And it says this in verses 13 and 14. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? No, they don't sit down. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? We have ministering angels working for us behind the scenes, unseen, because we can't see them doesn't mean they're not there. And these angels are performing the works of Christ for us in our lives. And sometimes we just kind of lose hope because we're walking so much by sight that we can't operate by faith. And yet the angels, which would be all around us, are saying, yeah, you don't even understand. I just cleared a road for you right there. I just moved something to happen so that you could be at the right place. Yes, this is painful. Yes, it seems hard. But you don't realize what we've been preparing so that you could get to the place where you're going. Because what's that, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 thing? Great to quote it when it's going good. For I know the plans I have for you. Yeah, but do you know what it takes to get you there? You know that some of the pain that we endure, and I believe many times, is meant to make us into something that we wouldn't have been without that pain, so that we could minister to those who come to us in pain, and we can say, I know what you're going through, but I can tell you there's better days ahead, and God will minister His life to you, and you will find peace, and you'll find rest, and you'll find out there's goodwill towards men. It will be for your benefit. And that's what I read in the Christmas story this year. There went out a decree to the whole world. And Joseph and Mary had to respond, even though she was great with child. And it was 90 miles away. But just watching the shepherds walk in that stable. Just hearing them tell the story. Just seeing, telling them, having them speak them things to us. They said something. Guys, what did they say again? Yeah, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That's what they said. And they said it was with this child. And couldn't you imagine Mary? I don't know about you, I'd have been laying on the floor going, "Oh God, I'm sorry I ever doubted." And that was before the wise men get there. And then warned in a dream that they need to go to Egypt and all these things. Man, oh man, you just look at this story and you're going, did we ever see that much? Do we ever think about that? Or just do we say, silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin. I bet you she didn't like that song. How round do you have to be before I'm round yon virgin? You see, I've mentioned this verse many times. You can write it down. I think it's been really important to us in our day. It's 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. And it's a whole litany of things that went through when Moses was on the earth. And it lists them, and then it says this. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We're going to need to know how God operated then so we can afford to let Him operate in our lives the same way as He did then. We've got angels working for us. The Spirit of God lives inside of us. But the Christmas story wasn't the end of ministering spirits, ministering angels. No, not at all. They're heirs. They're assigned to those who are the heirs of salvation. Worship team, would you going to come? I just really believe that God wants to minister to you. You heard a number of people say, you know, this is that first Christmas, second Christmas, hardships, mother's gone. Folks, we got to get used to death on the earth if we're going to live very long. It may not be pleasant. Oh, but I will tell you this. I sat with my nieces yesterday, and I was able to minister to them and tell them, you know, God could have done it different. He could have made it so that when breath leaves our body, we just begin to evaporate. And pretty soon you just watch them and they'd go into nothing. And you're going, well, I guess that's the last time I'll see him here. No, he didn't. You know why? In my opinion, the more we deal with death, the better perspective we'll have for life. Living easy doesn't cost me much. Walking through hard road costs a lot, but it exposes what's on the inside of us, and we become purer by deep experiences. My father died when I was 11. My brother died in 2014. Now another brother in 2023. But the truth is, they get to go. You talk about graduation. They got to go. You know what they'd be saying right now? You won't believe it. Can't wait for you to get here. It's glorious. Ain't nothing like what you're living in. And we go, yeah, but no. I know, guys, it's hard. But when he said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. It settles everything. And it's for your good, goodwill to men. Guys, if you can walk out the Christmas story in that fashion, it won't be long and we'll all be on the other side. And I absolutely am determined I will not walk in fear with that. We get older. Yes, we do. How's it going to be? I have no idea. I just know this. There's days that are accomplished in our lives too. It's okay. But on the way to that accomplishment, what other accomplishments are meant to be in our lives? If we can just trust Him that there's a plan and there's a purpose and I've got ministering spirits all around me. That's what He wants us to know. And that is the Christmas story. Can we sing that hallelujah again? And then we'll go to our second song if we can. I want you to stand with me. I trust that this is meaningful to you. I tell you, this is the stuff that stirs my heart. But I realize I'm a little weird at times, so. Now we're going to sing one more song. Because I haven't had Christmas until I sing this song in church. But what would be great is if you're able, would you just to come up here? Let's do Christmas together. Even if you're visiting with us. Man, nobody's afraid of this. But I love this song so much, Oh Holy Night. I have a hard time getting through it, real honestly. Because it's the night that changed everything. The invasion of light into a dark earth. The invasion of spirit into an earth that was void without spirit. And then suddenly there's a thrill of hope. Jesus, Emmanuel, come to save us from our sins. And what is our natural response to be? Fall. So I don't know about you. I know some of you, you have lonely Christmases. I will say there's, on Christmas Day, Pastor Phil down at First Mennonite Church, if you don't have family and you don't have some place to go on Christmas Day, First Mennonite Church, you guys are all, anybody's invited. Take a dish with you. Pastor Phil's a wonderful man, but they opened up First Mennonite Church on Christmas Day. There's other churches that do it. Thankful for that. But let's take advantage of that, especially if you're all alone. Let's sing this together.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till He appeared and the soul fell.
Popular, and there's actually three verses, but this second one's pretty popular.
Truly He taught us to love one another. His law is love, and His gospel is peace. shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let
just filled me up, because I could tell it means the same thing to you. If you're here, you do have family. If you want it, we're here, and we long to be that, but sometimes we're not good at it. Sometimes we don't know how, and sometimes it's hard to break in. But I would want you to know that the love that came from heaven that day is here, and it's for you. And God so loves all of us. In fact, the whole world. So I pray that you're blessed this morning. And as we leave here, I just want to say Merry Christmas to every one of you. You're very special to me. And I love what we have. So often we take things for granted, and I don't want to do that. So I bless you and say, may God not only grant you a wonderful Christmas, but that we can look forward to a 2024 with the trust and hope that God brings to us. Let me pray with you. Father, we thank you for a story that is, it's the craziest thing that could ever happen. But you are quite impressive. You know how to fill in the details we wouldn't even have imagined. Why shepherds? Why the stable? Why a trip? Only you, God, know those things. And so, God, when we're looking at our own life and asking the questions, may we look back to even the birth of your own son and say, oh, I guess this is the way it works sometimes. So, God, today, we again humble ourselves to your plan, knowing you'll bring us through if we'll just cooperate. And it's never out of control. It just isn't going the way we thought. So we want to tell you, we love you. We trust you. We bless you. Thank you for Christmas. We honor you in all of it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Love y'all.